frankly, an outstanding piece of music. Tom Odell, Grow Old With Me. Kind of ideal for No Adults Allowed, because yes, children, you will become more chronologically gifted. Yes, you will grow older as the world proceeds. Already assembled in the studio, terrific triumvirate of talent. We have Ed Wellman. We have author extraordinaire Keith Melton. Yes, our man from Lincolnshire who went over to Brazil because he married a fabulous Brazilian lady and has also produced Captain Cobbler, The Lincolnshire Uprising, 1536. I'm holding it in my hand at this very moment in two exciting ways. And online, as well as, of course, not forgetting entertainer for the cruise ships, James Smith, we've also got the fabulous Cameron Tilbury. How are you, Cameron?
I'm well. How are you?
Splendid, exactly. And just really delighted to be back for the first midweek drive of Freshers Week for September 25th, 2013. Okay, so it's Gord Bamford who's coming up in a few moments to actually sort of celebrate with all sorts of joys. We had to sort of squeeze in a whole range of other bits and pieces. Give me a number between 1 and 400, please, Cameron.
237.
The random selection to actually take us up to possibly the news in all sorts of ways that comes from Captain Cobbler, The Lincolnshire Uprising. Nicholas managed to respond quickly to the sudden change of direction with good grace, though it felt rather lame as he spoke the words. Several people exited with the bishop's administrator, and several others took the opportunity of the hiatus to relieve themselves outside, so there was a considerable amount of shuffling about before the meeting became ordered again. A quiet voice from amongst the black frocks was heard clearly in a theatrical stage whisper to say, "Good riddance!" as the administrator left the tower meeting area. At a more mundane level, John Baker took the opportunity to bring in another few platters of cold meats and other titbits for those who still had hunger to appease, and Pat Baker and her team of good wives cleared some of the earlier bowls and wooden platters and goblets out of the way. John Baker also let everyone know there was a new barrel of ale which had just been breached, if anyone was gasping for a drink. More shuffling, and the mood noticeably changed back to a more relaxed gathering of friends. Now most of the stuffy, naysaying gentlemen had left, trailing after John Hennage. There's a little smidgen there of Captain Cobbler, The Lincolnshire Uprising. Very quickly, Keith, what's happening there?
there was a meeting with John Hennage, who's the bishop's administrator, and he really was saying that the rumours of Cromwell taking the silverware from the church had no basis whatsoever, but the people in Louth didn't believe him and sent him packing.
You see, that's one of the reasons, Cameron, why the historical accuracy of Captain Cobbler, The Lincolnshire Uprising. As a Canadian, were you familiar with Captain Cobbler?
No, I wasn't, but I know my British history and know about the Civil War and Cromwell and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we are, you see. We'll be finding out a bit more about that and a whole heap of other goodies. Currently, it's an all-male trio in the studio. That, of course, is Ed Wellman. How are you, Ed?
I'm good, and it's nice that the equilibrium, if you like, of Midweek Drive has now regained some sort of balance with you back in the seat.
Oh, please.
See, I very, very rarely would expect to hear the phrase balance, or the word balance, and Alex in the same sentence. Unless it's un with a D at the end, unbalanced.
Okay. James Smith, as I say, is with us as well. James, another experience for your good self of Siren. Looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Excellent. Holly Cox is hopefully going to be on her way. So will Katie Grimerson. And we send best goodwill wishes to Nikki Wells, who is doing all sorts of things, but she's unable to actually do anything on Facebook, because even that is a step of multitasking just a wee bit too far, even for Nikki Wells. So we said we'd send out best positive wishes by Nikki Wells, who almost, I think, well, in fact, she did hold the title of being most marketing soul of her rockstar romance trilogy, until, of course, Captain Cobbler, The Lincolnshire Uprising, which has got a fantastic setup of things that's coming through in all sorts of ways. So, you know, all that and more. Plus, dare I say it, we'll be going live to Rebecca Mackay in Peterborough to talk about the Top Magazine Football 24/7. Yes, Cameron, I know Tottenham Hotspurs are doing reasonably well, okay, but at least City won 5-0 last night, so good news as far as that's concerned, which is one more than Spurs. Wigan, Aston Villa. We've got Steve Nallon, ace impressionist. We've got Michelle Monroe. We've got Annette André. And we've got Natalie Tuck live from France. And Phil Leonis, of course, from Los Angeles. All this on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM. And, of course, a fantastic piece of music selected personally by your good self, Cameron, featuring Gord Bamford.
Yes,
on Siren FM. Celebrate that Wednesday wonder with style!
It's okay, calm down. I know it's fresh this week, please. Okay, moving onwards. Actually, before we go into your first choice of music, Cameron, we have to apologise publicly once again to our ace author, Keith Melton, because, of course, Keith, when last you were part of the Midweek Drive team, you were cut off in midstream by the Brazilian telephony people who had effectively charged you extortionate rates just for actually taking part in the show.
Absolutely shocking.
It was, yeah. We were stunned. I mean, many people still resonate now. It almost set off another Lincolnshire rebellion.
But never mind.
Well, it's critical. That's the important thing. Anyway, when your lips are so close, I thought you could have written this for the Rockstar Romance trilogy in many ways, Cameron. Oh, shameless plug for Nikki Wells. I don't know why we do these kind of things. But it's the selection that you've chosen today. Let's do a quick survey beforehand. James, have you heard of Gord Bamford?
No, I haven't.
No, never. In your time as a blue coat, red coat, whatever coat you happen to be wearing, Gord Bamford? No, okay. Ed Wellman, Gord Bamford?
Well, that does ring a bell, yes.
Yeah, I should hope so. He has been featured before.
That's
very good. Short-term memory,
good.
Critical. And Keith, have you heard of him?
Absolutely not. No idea.
Well, I suspect they might be in for a treat here, but what are we about to listen to, Cameron?
Gord has had 5 albums in Canada. His 6th studio album is due to be released on October 8th. This is the first single from the album. It's his 4th international release, and we're gaining fans around the world like crazy. A couple weeks ago, he won 4 Canadian Country Music Awards, and he is a star, and we're making him even bigger. This is Gord Bamford and his brand new song, When Your Lips Are So Close, on Siren FM.
Lips are so close.
So splendid, I think I'll press this button here.
The Midweek Drive. Holly Cox, Ed Wellman, Katie Grimason, and Alex Levchuk. A fantastic four, bringing you the best in audio adventures on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Exactly. Privileged, of course, Cameron, to actually share the official unveiling of that little number. There is, of course, the other season line, which is...
Take an H, add an O, pop in an L, and add another L, season with a Y, and what have you got? H-O-L-L-Y, or Holly, back on the Midweek Drive.
And then for those people who actually are always a little bit taken aback when they receive a text saying, I'm on my way, I'm currently in the cinema.
Good golly, it's Holly. Holly Cox, that is, on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
There we are. See, Holly finally made it. She's got your own.
I've got my own.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
and Cameron, you can share that excitement, can't you, all the way over there in Nashville. Yes, I'll open up your microphone. I actually had his channel closed down there, so he could have said anything, really. What did we make of Gord Bamford's tune, James?
Yeah, it was very good. Very good.
Very good, okay. Ed?
Kind of slow-motion Shania Twain.
Slow-motion Shania... Are you talking about gender realignment for Gord? That's going to be an interesting one.
Not yet, no.
I'm sure if he's listening online, think, Cameron, what's going on here? I never said I'd actually sort of change my, you know...
Well, country music's never really been my thing, but I enjoyed that one.
And Holly, it was your music to enter.
It was my entrance
music. It was your entrance thing.
I do love a bit of country, so yes, it's very enjoyable.
Listening to the show last week, as I was when I was driving back from Wales, Cameron, I was intrigued to actually find, and of course it's up online as a podcast that you can download as well, that December the 1st is a very important date in the life and times of the Cobra Elite cheerleading squad. Do you know why that is, Cameron?
I'm going to say it has something to do with their pom-poms.
Oh, how passe. How last millennium. No, they're going to be in Blackpool then, aren't you, Carla? Oh. Holly? You're
yes,
going to be in Blackpool.
At the beginning of December for our second competition.
Second competition. And I'm thinking, Ed, we should really go over there and actually have... Yeah, that way, Lincoln Cobra Elite could have their very own radio team being cheerleaders for the cheerleaders. Anyway, you're just nodding. That was an excellent idea.
I think so.
Blackpool in December. What's not to love?
That there's just nothing but charm in that sentence.
Thank you. I think so. I mean, I've been working up for some considerable period. So, yeah, all sorted out on that particular perspective. Okay, as I say, we're going to the fabulous... career, well, editor-in-chief of Football 24/7. That's Rebecca Mackay coming up. So what are the last two questions we need to put to Cameron, please? Ed?
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
I certainly have, and I just want to say hello to somebody from Peterborough, so because I used to live there. So it's nice you're representing the city.
Sorry, who's from Peterborough?
Rebecca Mackay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, she's based in Peterborough. I mean, she may deny all knowledge, etc.
We know that, but our listener may not have known that. And can we look forward to connecting with you again? What about next Wednesday, Cameron?
We'll be back. See you then.
Ta-da.
Yeah, it's not just on. You can come up with that catchphrase. So, a question to Keith Melton, ace author. Do you remember Rye Race and Melchester Rovers and such like?
Not really,
no. You don't remember the creator of Rye of the Rovers, well, actually one of the artists, key chap Paul Trevelyan, who's still working, has produced this little image of a certain Stephen Gerrard on this little production, which also, as you can see at the top there, interview Welcome to Hull on the back, and on the front, let's turn it upside down again, yes, you can see there, Welcome to Hull again. That's H-U-L-L, Steve Bruce. Now, to actually put a magazine together that stands out, that actually sort of has that quality of saying, yeah, that is worth going to my iPad application to actually go to the news agents and actually get this whole routine, whether it's Nigel de Jong, an AC Milan star on Life with Balotelli, or an exclusive interview with Steven Gerrard, the captain. Well, I personally would actually say Vincent Kompany is the captain, which might give my bias away. But we are delighted to welcome to the Midweek Drive for the first time the official editor of 24/7 Football. That would be the fabulous editor-in-chief, no less, Rebecca Mackay. How are you, Rebecca?
Very well today, and thank you very much for inviting me along.
It's delighted to actually connect with your good self on the production, really, which, as I say, you were suggested to us in all sorts of ways, and we still haven't given up hope of you actually coming along to speak to our journalism students as part of a panel, really, and share the joy and wonderment of that. Looking at the dream team that you've put together here, you've got Dietmar Hamann. Nice to see some Manchester City connection in there. You've got Barry Silkman, also former Manchester City player. Like this. Barry Fry, nothing to do with City. Andy Gray, likewise. Richard Keys, Sue Smith, Oliver Kay, of course, chief football correspondent for The Times. Hayley McQueen, former Manchester United TV presenter, MUTV. I couldn't believe that, but it hasn't stopped me. It's all good stuff. Matt Letizia, Mark Bright. I mean, you've actually got a phenomenal team of top-level contributors. But when we first spoke, and I have to ask this question, the telephone conversation you were about to have with Hope Powell, of course, who has a column within the fabulous 24/7 football magazine, but this was literally the day after she got our marching orders from the FA.
Yes.
So how did that telephone conversation go? Was it, well, it's a game of two halves, Hope, but you've had a good run in? What was? I mean, your role as an editor presumably is part motivator and part saying, don't worry, Hope, we've still got your contract.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hope and I speak every month and have done for the last 8 months. So we've built a really good friendly relationship. And she's very open and honest. She's not somebody who would try to hide the fact that she had a disappointing campaign in the Euros in the summer. So, she was quite frank and open about it. We had an interesting conversation about what she might be up to next. She may decide to go abroad and work over there, or she might go for a bit of media punditry. But at the moment, I think she's keeping all her options open. And obviously, yes, it's slightly awkward when something like that happens, but in football it's going to happen all the time. And, that's one of the things we come up against frequently.
And there's always the shock factor when Paolo Di Canio gets asked to leave. Saw that coming? You know, that was very left field.
Yeah, Oliver Kay absolutely saw that coming. He was in our June issue. His feature was all about Paolo Di Canio. In fact, it was entitled Management by Hand Grenade.
Yeah.
And he predicted all the way back then that Paolo Di Canio wouldn't last in the job. You see, not just because of his political views, but because of his very fiery management style.
Let's just take that and pass it on to our former business and environmental soul from Nottingham Trent University before he became a top author living in Brazil, Keith Melton. Management by hand grenade. Is that something you would have liked your students to have actually sort of said, yeah, that's what we're all about, you know, just basically rule by divide and conquer and ban them from any ice in their Coca-Cola or other fizzy drinks?
It's not an ideal way of managing a team. No, I wouldn't have thought that at all.
That's fair enough. Do you have a particular association football fondness, or do you think...
I'm actually more of a rugby man myself.
Really?
I'm looking forward to the World Cup in 2015 in the UK.
Now, you see, you say that, and yet a year before that, 2014, in Brazil, what's happening?
the World Cup football.
Exactly.
And I'm encouraged by my wife to support Brazil, which is okay when England's not playing against them.
I was going to say, because I think we beat you twice last year. Did we in England? Or this year?
England won, yes. I think, 1-0 in one the nil, first one. And it was a nice even two-all draw, which was very good for marital harmony, I have to say.
You see, that's another little angle, Rebecca, that, you know, how often could you sort of say you could have the author of Captain Cobbler, the Lincolnshire Uprising, 1536, providing an insight into the American R Stadium and football magazines?
I know, it's wonderful. It's a privilege.
I love it. We can go even further than that. We can go to a gentleman who actually used to stand on the terraces at Lincoln City and actually just pray for the half-time sing-song where effectively Stevie Winwood and Valerie would be played.
That's what? The only reason I used to go.
That's the only
valid reason, though. I still paid.
That's the only reason. And Lincoln's... Now, Lincoln City did have a moment, probably before your time, Ed, when they were managed by Graham Taylor and they shot up to the heights of the top end of League Division One, as it was at the time. No, Division Two, I think.
Second Division,
exactly.
I went with my first father-in-law to go and see them one Boxing Day, and they beat West Bromwich Albion 3-1.
A bit of a shocker. Where were they when you were seeing them, Ed? Were they on their way to the Skrillex conference?
Vauxhall, I think.
Oh, you're Vauxhall.
Or they were at the bottom of three, heading towards something lower.
I see. Yes. Yeah. It's a tough call. We have to also pass on from Nashville best wishes from Cameron Tilbury, who used to be based in Peterborough, but is delighted to see that there's more quality stuff coming out of Peterborough. So I'm doing that.
Oh, well, wonderful. Do send my best back to him as well.
Yeah, that's well, as I said, Nashville and Peterborough, I feel they could almost be twins separated at birth in terms of cities.
Of course, yes. Great music scene here.
Exactly. Holly, Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading squad. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, last century, of course, first ever Monday night football match, Queen's Park Rangers, Manchester City. They had cheerleaders there. Every Monday night they used to have cheerleaders. Some clubs, Crystal Palace being an example, still have cheerleaders. Do you ever think maybe Lincoln City need your Lincoln...
Well, when I was at Lincoln Jets, when we were in the university squad, we did actually go and do it, but I don't know, it just wasn't that good.
Oh, no.
We did perform, though, on the pitch, and they did like us going, but...
But these
I'd rather be a competition squad.
I mean, do you think that cheerleaders in soccer, because I'm conscious of our American listener here, let's work with that. Do you feel, Rebecca, that it's never going to work in Britain, or do you think, well, Crystal Palace might have it right? Maybe we could have cheerleaders in the Peterborough, for instance. Do you think that could benefit from a cheerleading upsurge?
I think it could do. Well, we of course have Peterborough as a very lovely fairy mascot, who's a giant bunny who appears on the pitch at every match.
I knew you'd say that. And for me, I just think that's like a nightmare from some of my worst experiences of life. I feel a giant bunny. I mean, surely News Bunny.
Well, it could be worse. It could be the Northampton Clown. So
it could be Paolo Di Canio. Sorry, Paolo.
Right. Exactly.
you could throw a tantrum. You could ask the referee to send you off. You see, that's the downer with that whole news story. I feel that the comedy potential for Sunderland Football Club has just vanished because they've replaced him with Kevin Ball. He's not funny at all. You know, sorry, it's just not.
It's looking like it's going to be Gus Poirier in Sunderland. Well, he's quite a character too. So
let's not talk about number twos that were left in dressing rooms, because that could set up a whole new area. You know. James, are you a football?
No, I'm not a fan of football, if I'm honest.
Really?
No,
really?
I've never been a fan.
It is more important than life or death, of course, as Bill Shankly once said. So, Wittgenstein, philosophers are horrid. Rebecca, what was the line for your own point of view? Because I'm presuming you're not going to shock the world now by saying, no, actually, I much prefer netball. In terms of editor-in-chief and your role as 24/7, do you have a passion for the game? Do you have a follow for the whole thing? Again,
I do, yeah. And it's developed in the time that I've been with the magazine as well. I've always been one to follow international level football, and I've always looked out for Peterborough United scores, but it's only since I've been working full-time in a football magazine that I've become completely immersed in the world of football, and it's absolutely fascinating. The stories are incredible, whether you're interested or not in the actual game itself. Just the stories around managerial sackings or players who've had career-ending injuries, it's all really gripping.
Exactly. So, Ed, any thoughts on that particular basis? I mean, obviously, you know, we have sports journalists here at the University of Lincoln. We put out a whole range of other bits and pieces to the world. In fact, before you jump in there, Ed, what do you look for in somebody who would be looking to work for yourself, Rebecca, in terms of saying, you know, obviously, other football magazines are available. We know, but, you know, there is only one Football 24/7. What would you look for in terms of a contributor? Is it a case of, well, somebody who's already made a name for themselves in the game? Or is it a case of, well, now you consider jobbing journalists as well?
A bit of both. I mean, obviously, we have our dream team, and that has helped us establish ourselves very quickly as having a serious reputation in the field of football, because the people who contribute to our magazine really do know what they're talking about. You know, they've played, some of them have played Champions League football, some of them have managed Premier League teams. So, you know, they really do know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But we are also inundated on a weekly basis with young sports journalists sending their CVs. Mm-hmm. And we're keen to help young talent to get along. So we occasionally let young journalists write a blog for our website and that kind of thing. But primarily in the magazine, space is very tight, so it tends to be just the dream team of contributors who get the most opportunities. And we have a very strong in-house team as well.
Can I cite the late Sir Bobby Robson a few years ago, where he actually said, when he had youngsters go, say, I should be in the team, boss. This was when he was in charge of Ipswich Town. And I know our colleagues at BBC Humberside, Andy Comfort, will be great. They're mentioning Ipswich Town. I am, again. But his official line to that was, well, I'm afraid until you've got to the standard of Kevin Beattie and Trevor Wymark and so on, you know, what do I tell them? They're actually better than you. So, you know, you've got to aspire to them and then actually grow for the whole thing. It's kind of like you're putting, I mean, Keith, from your own perspective, presumably, it's the same thing people is saying, yeah, I could write a historical... No, this is a historical epic. Captain Cobbler, the Lincolnshire Uprising, 1536. It's the shameless way I'm putting this in as a plug, Rebecca. It's happening. I mean, the thoughts on, in terms of that, and the apprenticeship scheme in many ways is what we're coming towards.
Before I wrote my novel, I used to work for Nottingham Business School, and I was responsible for a while for placing students, placements out in the real world. And one of the big complaints that students had when they came back from placements was that they sometimes had to go and make the tea or go and do a bit of filing. But really, the experience of being on a placement and having some of the rough edges knocked off and realising that when you graduated you weren't necessarily going to become the managing director of the biggest organisation in the world, the experience of learning like that in apprenticeship was very powerful.
Cobra Elite cheerleading squad, you must get young. I mean, here we are. You used the term last week, Holly. Fresh meat. I was quite shocked, actually. And I said, yeah, it's fresh as week, so...
That's what it is, though.
What? Is it a vampire cheerleading squad, fresh. I'm thinking to myself? Do you have the same sort of thing? Because obviously the sort of team ethos and spirit is there. Admittedly, you don't necessarily get the same sort of salaries that Premiership footballers get. But, you know, what the heck. Do you believe it's important to do that apprenticeship, though?
I don't know. Well, obviously, yes, but... I mean, in our squad, nothing's that so. That's not that stage yet.
Not quite yet. Yeah, you see.
But however, if we grow and if the company becomes a company, then.
After Blackpool, who knows
Blackpool,
what could happen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it was precisely so.
Give me a few years. Please.
Critical. We're going over to Woodstock, New York very shortly. Ed, any other questions you want to put? Because you've had a chance to touch and feel the magazine now. Sorry, Rebecca, I know that's a bit too explicit, the information, but I just thought, you know, we'll give them the opportunity to actually hold
very
the magazine.
Important for me.
It is critical.
It's a really nicely set out magazine, even though I'm not really a football fan.
Yeah.
I've been flicking through it.
Yeah.
No, it's nice.
Well, that was my question, actually, Rebecca. Given that this is probably going to be lying around on coffee tables of football widows and all that, I noticed that you've got an Ollie Mears feature in one of the magazines.
That
was our launch issue, and we have a famous fan in every issue. We've had Andy Brown from the pop group Lawson. We've had all sorts of people, and you know, we've got some cracking ones lined up as well. But as I was saying earlier, I think the stories within football are actually of wider interest as well as just the matches themselves. It's watching people's career paths and how they've moved from country to country sometimes can be absolutely fascinating. So I think, obviously, as well, we place a high emphasis on really high-quality design, and we've got two brilliant designers who make the magazine look very desirable to pick up, and that really helps.
You've got a dream team of journalists working, you mentioned. How will they be answering the questions of your readers? Will there be chance for readers to kind of dictate what goes in the future?
Well, not completely, but we've got a very, very active Twitter feed. Mm. I mean, we've got coming on for 23,000 followers on Twitter that we've picked up in the last 6 months, and they're very, very active. Mm. And we pride ourselves on replying to as many of our contributors or our Twitter followers.
You can even retweet this interview when it goes online if it's already been tweeted.
I could indeed, yes. And I'd like to point out as well that we have featured Finsel Bank, Lincoln City's ground, in our August issue. And that's contributed by a fan every issue.
That's exactly.
So there is that opportunity for fans to tweet in the ground they'd like to cover.
And I'm particularly impressed by the fact that when Ed was interviewing another editor from another magazine, all right, it was David Hall, but last year when I think the classic interview was, so 442, where'd you get that from then?
Aww! Maybe Rebecca doesn't know either. Well, I mean, you never know.
Well, it was suffice to say, 24/7 football, we know where we're coming from. That's the critical
side. Every day,
fantastic. Yeah. Rebecca, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive? Has it been okay
I've
for you?
I've had a lovely time, yes, thank you very much for having me. It's been great fun.
Can we look forward to featuring you on a fairly regular basis, or at least welcoming you back to sort of keep us updated with all the goodies and good stuff, things that come into 24/7 football? A round of applause for Rebecca McKay. Hey!